Hey guys, it's Aria, and welcome back to another episode of Femme Bolden. This Monday, I'm back to give you guys another Her Story Spotlight. So, stay tuned, relax, and let us learn more about the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was born on March 15, 1933, in Brooklyn, New York, to her mother Celia Bader and her father Nathan Bader. Nathan Bader was a furrier in the height of the Great Depression, and her mother was a garment worker. Her mother, who had foregoed her own education in order to allow her brother to attend college, was a selfless woman who instilled a love for education in the young Ruth. Her mother heavily influenced her early life and watched Ginsburg excel at James Madison High School, but was diagnosed with cancer and died the day before Ginsburg's high school graduation. Ginsburg's success in academia continued throughout her years at Cornell University, where she graduated at the top of her class in 1954. That same year, Ruth Bader became Ruth Bader Ginsburg after marrying her husband Martin, who was a first-year law student at Cornell when they met. After graduation, she put her education on hold to start a family. She had her first child in 1955, shortly after her husband was drafted for 2 years of military service. Upon her husband's return from his service, Ginsburg enrolled at Harvard Law. Despite the tremendous obstacles Ginsburg faced as she fought to receive an education, Ginsburg was determined to succeed. Even as her husband was diagnosed with testicular cancer in 1956, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was not deterred from her academic goals. Not only did Ginsburg further her own studies, she kept her sickly husband up to date on his studies simultaneously, still at the top of her class at Harvard. During her time at Harvard, Ginsburg battled intense gender discrimination at the male-dominated school. Not only was she chastised by her peers, her teachers were discriminatory towards her as well. Even so, Ginsburg served as the first female member of the Harvard Law Review. Her husband recovered from cancer, graduated from Harvard, and moved to New York City to accept a position at a law firm there. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had one more year of law school left, so she transferred to Columbia Law School and served on their law review as well. She graduated first in her class at Columbia Law in 1959. Even with her exceptional academic performance, Ginsburg still struggled to find a job in her desired field during the 1960s. In fact, she struggled with finding a job until one of her professors at Columbia refused to recommend any other graduates until U.S. District Judge Edmund L. Palmieri hired Ginsburg as a clerk. After serving as a clerk for 2 years, Ginsburg took some time to pursue her other legal passion, civil procedure. She then joined the Columbia Project on International Civil Procedure. She became fully immersed in Swedish culture, where she lived abroad to do research for her book on Swedish civil procedure practices. Upon her return to the United States, she accepted a job as a professor at Rutgers University School of Law in 1963, a position she held until accepting an offer to teach at Columbia in 1972. There, she became the first female professor at Columbia to earn tenure. Ginsburg also directed the influential Women's Rights Project of the American Civil Liberties Union during the 1970s. In this position, she led the fight against gender discrimination and successfully argued 6 landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. Ginsburg took a broad look at gender discrimination, fighting not just for the women left behind, but for the men who were discriminated against as well. Ginsburg experienced her share of gender discrimination, even going so far as to hide her pregnancy from her Rutgers colleagues. Ginsburg accepted Jimmy Carter's appointment to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia in 1980. She served on the court for 13 years until 1993, when Bill Clinton appointed her to the Supreme Court of the United States. Ruth Bader Ginsburg began her career as a justice, where she left off as an advocate, fighting for women's rights. In 1996, Ginsburg wrote the majority opinion in the United States versus Virginia, holding that qualified women could not be denied admission into Virginia Military Institute. Her style in advocating from the bench matches her style from the time at the ACLU. Slow but steady and calculated. Instead of creating sweeping limitations on gender discrimination, she attacked specific areas of discrimination and violations of women's rights one at a time, so as to send a message to the legislators on what they can and cannot do. Her attitude is that major social change should not come from the courts, but from Congress and other legislators. This method allows for social change to remain in Congress's power while also receiving guidance from the court. Ginsburg does not shy away from giving pointed guidance when she feels the need. She dissented and led Ledbetter versus Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, where the plaintiff, a female worker being paid significantly less than males with the same qualifications, sued under Title VII but was denied relief under a statute of limitations issue. The facts of this case mixed her passion of federal procedure and gender discrimination. She broke with tradition and wrote a highly colloquial version of her dissent to read from the bench. She also called for Congress to undo this improper interpretation of the law in her dissent, and then worked with President Obama to pass the very first piece of legislation he signed, the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act of 2009, a copy which proudly hangs in her office. Until her death on September 18, 2020, Ginsburg worked with a personal trainer in the Supreme Court's exercise room, and for many years could lift more than both Justices Breyer and Kagan. Until the 2018 term, Ginsburg had not missed a day of oral arguments, not even when she was undergoing chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer after surgery for colon cancer, or the day her husband passed away in 2010. Justice Ginsburg proved time and time again that she was a force to be reckoned with, and those who doubted her capacity to effectively complete her judicial duties needed only to look at her record in oral arguments, where she was, until her death, among the most avid questioners on the bench. The Supreme Court issued a press release on September 19, 2020, regarding her death. Thank you, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You will not be forgotten. A big thank you to Oyez.org for the information provided in this week's episode. Remember, we see you, we hear you, we are you. You are not alone. Femboldened is a teen-led podcast where we discuss a variety of topics surrounding femininity, social activism, and adolescence.
We want to encourage other young women to use their voices to call out issues within their community and on a global spectrum. We appreciate all of our support and believe that feminism should be open to all genders.